and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You're listening to the series, Bloom Where You're Planted. And now with the word, here's Beverly.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to tell you, you've got to taste and you've got to see. It's your mouth and your eyes. Taste with your mouth and see that the Lord is good. He's good. And tonight I'm going to speak to you about the banquet table of the Lord. I want to tell you, it's full of everything that you have need of. Man, I can go to that banquet table any time of the day or night, and He is always there. So, if you have your Bibles, let's read from Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. I love the Amplified Bible. And so it's got a few extra words in there, but hang in there. You'll catch up with me, or I'll catch up with you, with your Bible eventually. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, shield me, and I shall not lack. Isn't that awesome? I want to tell you, when the enemy comes against you with lack, you got to know that you shall not lack if the Lord is your shepherd. We've got to treat lack like a burglar that's come into our house. You know, a burglar has never come into my house while I'm there, and it's a good thing, because he would be very sorry. Because if a burglar had to break into my house, I would take, I don't know what I'd take, I'd best baseball bat, or I don't have a gun, otherwise I'd probably shoot him, but I would rebuke him upside down. I mean, you know, he would know that he is a trespasser in my house. I would scream, I'd perform, I would throw a tizzy, I would call 911, I would, you know, I'd do whatever I could to get him out of that house, wouldn't you? So when lack comes into your house, you've got to know it's a burglar. When the Lord is your shepherd, you shall have no lack. So if there's a lack in your life, an emotional lack, a financial lack, a material lack, a health lack, in your life, you've got to know it's a burglar and it doesn't come from God. Because the shepherd says, if he is your shepherd, I shall have no lack. Or your Bible says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. There's peace when he is your shepherd. There's so much peace. You know, in the average church that I've gone into, and I don't know any of you, so I don't know anything about this church, so if I'm standing on some corns, I'm really sorry, but you know, but so often church life becomes so busy. It's just like there's no peace. It's like it pulls your family apart. It's just like you've got to be doing so many things to please the Lord and please the pastor and keep everybody happy, you know. And I want to tell you, when he's your shepherd, he leads you beside still waters. There's got to be a place of peace in your life. He leads you beside the still waters. He refreshes and restores my life and myself. That's what this weekend's about. He's going to refresh you and restore you. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him. Not for my earning it, but for His name. Yea, though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide me, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my brimming cup runs over. Surely, and only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful psalm? Verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5 says this. He has, talking about the bridegroom, He has brought me into his banqueting table, or his house of wine, and his banner over me is love. You know, when the bride gets married, I want to tell you, I'm the bride. He is my groom. He has brought me into his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. The banner over the table is not sinlessness, where you get all your sins confessed up to date, and you get your life right, and you get da-da-da-da-da. No, the banner over the table is love. It's not even correct doctrine. Well, you get your doctrine straight, and you get, you know, your... Well, who of us have got correct doctrine? You know, I'd like to think I do, but, you know, we're all finite. You know, God is the only one who knows everything. I mean, you've got these preachers who think they know it all, but they actually don't. And they may need a blonde woman to tell them. Because we all only see in part. Isn't that right? Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We only all see in part. We all just know in part. So, the banner over the banquet table is love. And he loves us. And that's why he wants us to come to the banquet table. He sustains and he refreshes his bride at the banquet table. He restores my soul. What's it say? He refreshes and he restores my soul. So, I love this. I just called Rita at lunchtime today, right before I left Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I said, Rita, would you just bring, you know, get a table? And I just said, well, just bring a plate and a knife and fork and all that stuff. And so she got a table with a red tablecloth. And that's awesome. If I had chosen it, I couldn't have chosen it better. Because, see, everything on this table has been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus. I want it. You've got to get this. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. You can't do enough things. You can't pray enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't tithe enough. You can't lead enough people to Jesus. You can't go to church enough in order to earn it to come to the table. It's bought. It's paid for. It's a free gift. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, but Beverly, if you just knew me, and if you knew what my marriage was like, and if you knew what I've done in my life, you wouldn't be saying that. I don't care what you've done. Because if it's bought with the blood of Jesus, everything in your past is under the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't even see it anymore. We were recently ministering in a church in another state. And this particular lady, she's in her 30s. And she'd been in church all of her life. And all of her life, she felt like, and she told me this, she said, I felt like God was like a carrot at the end of the stick. And everything I did to try and get into the presence of God, to try and get him to like me, to try and, you know, just to feel his presence, to know that he's with me. I did all these things and I never could get there because as soon as I got close, the carrot at the end of the stick was moved a little bit further, a little bit further. And you know what I've discovered? Many of God's children feel exactly the same way. I'm going to ask you to pray for me because, you know, God hears your prayers better than my prayers. Heard that one before? Ever used that one before? Or we say things like this, well, you know, I can't expect God to bless me because, you know, I didn't pray this morning, I didn't read my Bible, and I overslept and I didn't get up early enough, so God won't bless me. Or you can't expect God to bless you if you don't tithe every month. Get that? Now, I know I'm sticking some big spears in lots of brown cows here, but I want you to, you've got to hear this. It's free. The grace of God is free, and you cannot earn it, and you cannot deserve it. You know, I've got to remind myself of this, because sometimes I find myself saying to my husband, well, would you just ask the Lord about this, or could you just pray about this, because I'm sure God, you know, I've got to catch myself, because you see, the banquet table was set for me. I have been washed with the blood of Jesus. And I spoke to this lady in this other state that I was telling you about. And I told her about when God looks at you, he looks at you through rosy-tinted glasses. You never heard that saying, rosy tinted glasses, you know, spectacles, glasses. And so I said, when God looks at you, he sees you beautiful. He sees you perfect. He sees you whiter than snow. He sees you precious in his eyes. He doesn't see you with all your sins. He doesn't see you with all your warts. He doesn't see you with your past. He sees you complete in Jesus Christ. So, when God looks at you, he sees you through rosy-tinted glasses, so you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy. There's mercy. And even when you have just sinned, you can come boldly and find mercy, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness, and I am complete in him. So everything on this banquet table has been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I am in him and he is in me, it's mine. And at this table, I want to tell you that my name tag is sitting right here. Nobody else can sit in my seat, and nobody else can sit in your seat. Nobody. This is for you. And if you don't sit there, nobody else is going to sit there. Because he has your name tag right there. The banquet table of the Lord is set for every one of his children. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, if it's set for every one of your covenant children, if you, and I don't know where you are, I don't know, there may be some folk here who don't regularly go to church. I wanted to, let me just explain this to you. If you've received Jesus Christ into your life and you've said, Lord, come into my life and cleanse me from my sin, and I make you the Lord of my life, you are his child. He comes in by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he bears witness with your spirit that you belong to him, and therefore you are his child, and therefore this table is set for you. So it's for every one of his covenant children. A number of years ago, we were in South Africa, and we were just visiting my mom and dad and ministering around in the country. And one morning, one evening actually, my mom came to the kitchen. We were busy washing the dishes, and we'd had supper, dinner ready. And my mom just said, you know, I've got this enormous boil in my nose. And she said, the whole thing is just swollen. I mean, you could see it. The whole of her nose was just swollen like this. Just quite distended and red. And so I'm a nurse. I'm an RN and a midwife. And so I get the flashlight. You know, I said, Mother, let me look up this nose of yours. So I take the flashlight and I'm looking up her nose. And it is swollen shut. I mean, sucker is shut. There's nothing you can get. I mean, it's totally swollen. Just like a boil that's in there. It looked very sore. And so I said, well, you know what? Why don't we just ask the Lord to touch your nose? She said, I don't want to bother God with that. You laugh, but how many of us haven't done that? We're like, we got a headache, and the first thing we run for is the Advil or the something else, the Tylenol, you know. I don't want to bother God with a headache. I did that just 2 weeks ago. I was ministering in Augusta, Georgia, and I woke up that morning with a headache. And I thought, Lord, you've got to know this is going to be one awesome retreat that I'm going on. And so I just get away, just headache, just, you know. And I'm just thinking, I never get headaches. I never get sick. I don't ever take those things. And so I just thought, this is ridiculous. The devil is trying to get me. It's just ridiculous. I packed my things, went off to the airport, and I'm walking down the runway, going into the airplane. And the Lord said, why don't you just receive your healing? I thought, yes, that's exactly what I should do. You know, we forget, don't we? No, you never do. Well, I do sometimes. And so I just said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I receive my healing for this headache. And you know, it was just like that. It started to lift. In me, I felt it literally begin to lift off the top of my head. It was amazing. And I'm always just thrilled. So I said, Mom, you know what? God won't mind. He doesn't mind being bothered by your nose. So why don't we do, now my mom's a good old Baptist, you know, and I'm thankful for the Baptists. I'm not putting them down at all. I'm so thankful for my Baptist roots. And so I said, well, Mom, sit down in this chair and we'll just pray for you. And so she's now giggling. You know, she's now nervous. She's now scared. She's thinking, what is her daughter going to do now? Because she thinks I'm a bit out there in left field, you know. And so she sits in the chair and I just gently put my hand on her nose like this. And she's laughing. She's just giggling. She's nervous. She doesn't even have her eyes shut. She's got no faith because she doesn't want to bother God, you know. So it's all in me. So I just go like this and I just say, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you just touch Mom's nose? I didn't go through the shivers and shakes. I didn't say, hold on, I've got to fast and pray for 3 weeks first before I feel the power to pray. No, it was simple faith, simply coming to the table. And I just touched her nose and I said, I think it's done, Mom. Okay. So she's like, now, quit laughing. You think so? I said, yep. We washed the dishes, went off to bed the next morning. She says, my dad says to my mom, well, are you going to call the doctor? She says, what for? She says, for your nose. She says, my nose. Oh, my glory, my nose is healed. Just have a look. I took out the flashlight, looked up that sucker again, and the swelling was down, and God had touched her nose. God did not mind being bothered by her nose. I mean, that's such a minor illustration. But, you know, it illustrates so much of where we are. So often, we don't want to bother God with our little bitty things. Well, now, if it's a big thing, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, like a major big thing. Well, then we got to go, you know. But you know what? God is interested in the little things and the big things. And every one of his covenant children can come to his table. So many of us don't come because we don't feel worthy enough to come. The second reason why we don't come is because we don't know the King's heart. We don't know how exceptionally good God is. God is so good. I'm telling you, God is so good. And sometimes we've blamed him for things. You know, it's like you get sick and you think, well, God has laid you on your back so that you can look up to heaven. Well, where did we get that hogwash from? That is nonsense. That comes from the pit of hell. God never makes you sick. Do you realize that? Sickness does not come from God. Sickness always comes from the devil. Because by his stripes I'm healed. So it makes no sense to think that God would send sickness if he also sent healing. It's by his stripes I'm healed. It's my sickness that put Jesus on the cross. So we've got to recognize that God is good. And when bad things happen to me, it's coming from the devil, and I've got to know, I'm standing against this sucker. I can't stand it. You ever get a booger in your nose? You know, ever had a booger in your nose? You know, when a baby gets a booger in their nose, you just want them to blow their nose so badly, don't you? And they can't. They go, and it goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And then you've got to get a little nose bud, and you've got to pull it out. It's so gross, but I'm telling you, this is such a good illustration. Because so often, the boogers attack us, the devils, the demons attack us, and we just play with them. And the only way to get rid of a booger is to blow it out, isn't that right? You get a Kleenex and you give one almighty blow and the sucker leaves. And you are so happy to get rid of it, aren't you? You feel so good and clean when it's gone. My nose is getting itchy. But do you understand what I'm saying here? So often we get these things that attach itself to ourselves, the depression and the self-pity and all the stuff of unworthiness and rejection, and they are boogers sent from hell. And we got to recognize them and get rid of them. And you know what the word says about it? If you resist the devil, he will what? He will flee from you. Now you say, oh, but I've got to go to the preacher. You know, the preacher's one with all the power. You have got as much power in you as there is in me, as there is in my husband, as there is in Billy Graham and Benny Hinn or whoever. The same Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, dwells within me. But so often we do not recognize the boogers and we put up with them. And I'm telling you, the enemy wants to tell you that God is not good and that he sends bad things to you because you did bad. Well, you know, Beverly, I just got what I deserved. No. If I got what I deserved, I would be in hell. Because that's what I deserve. But the blood of Jesus has paid for my redemption. And has paid for my liberty. And has paid for my victory. And so it's all mine by grace. Every bit of it's mine by grace. Not by my deserving it. Not by my earning it and working for it. But simply by my receiving it. God is good. Sometimes we don't come because we don't know how good the King's heart is towards us. He's good. He's merciful. He's gentle. He is so kind. He is so tender. He's so full of loving kindness. He's a giver and not a taker. And He is the lover of your soul. You've got to know this. It seems so simple. It's like the first thing we ever learned, but it's almost the first thing that we forget. God loves me. And God loves you. When you say, yeah, but He loves me, but He doesn't love all the stuff. No, He loves you unconditionally. He doesn't say, get your act cleaned up first. Quit taking drugs, stop smoking, stop drinking, start reading your Bible, start witnessing, start praying 10 hours a day. Then I'll love you. No. I love you. I love you. And my love will change you. And my love will transform you from one degree of glory into another. You can't do it. How many of you have tried to do it? Boy, have I ever. And it's like those good year resolutions, you know. I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year. And it lasts for one day until the second helping of pecan pie comes by, you know. And it's out the window, you know. You can't do it, but He can do it in you. He loves you. And the third reason why we don't come to the table is because we don't know who we are. We don't know that our name is right there. You know what? When my children, Tracy and Bradley, were growing up and I would make Thanksgiving meal or something like that, they did not think to themselves, well, I wonder if I've been good enough to come and eat. You know, ham or turkey or whatever you make and pecan pie. They, when's the food ready, Mother? You know, I mean, they part of the family, so they know they can come and eat. And they can eat until they're absolutely full. And then more, if they like. And they can eat whenever they like because they're part of our family. You see, when you know that you're part of His family, you don't have to be good enough to come. You come, in fact, with your sin. You come as you are, and you receive His forgiveness, and you receive His love, and you receive His love in exchange for your life. You just give Him your filthy rags, and He gives you a clean garment, and it's so good, so good. So you come just as you are, and you sit at your table. You know that Jesus is in every bowl and He's prepared the table for you. And everything on the table is for you. You've got to know that. Everything is for you. You don't have to think, well, I wonder if, you know, healing is for me. Or I wonder if God says He will provide all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I wonder if that verse really is for me. Or, you know, the Lord says He will set His angels to guard around you and protect you in all your ways. Well, I wonder if I can really expect God to do that for me. No. I come to the table and I take whatever I have need of at this table. Because the Lord showed me about 25 different bowls that were at this table, and probably there's a whole lot more. And I'm just going to list them for you. But I want to tell you, it's up to you to receive it. You see, the whole of the Christian life, the whole of the Christian life is by faith. You've got to receive it by faith. Now, some people have said, well, the key word in the Christian life is obedience. You know what? I want to tell you the key word of the Christian life is faith. Now, I know this is rocking your boats a little bit and you're having to digest this and you're thinking, I need to talk to my pastor about this. But what did it say about Abraham? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And when you believe God, yes, you're going to obey him. Of course you will. But you've got to receive it by faith. And I'm telling you, every one of the promises of God are yes and amen. He has said yes to them. We've got to say, so be it. We've got to say, amen. Jesus said yes to them on the cross. We've got to say, yes, I receive them by faith. That's for me. And I speak it and I believe it. It's not going to fall from your head like a ripe cherry and just hit you clean between the eyes and say, this is for you. No, you've got to receive it by faith. For the just shall live by faith. It's faith. So I've got to receive it. I've got to appropriate it by faith. So by faith, I come and I say, Lord, I have such need today. I want to tell you this morning, we've had a very busy schedule. We've just been from one place to the next, and probably a little too busy. And I mean, literally, sometimes we've had 2 hours at home just to repack our suitcase and catch the next plane out. And it's just been like that. We've just had a very busy schedule. We got home last night about 10 o'clock, and I was on the plane again this afternoon. I just had time to get my hair cut, aren't you glad? And wash my clothes. So, honestly, when I got out of bed this morning, I said, Lord, I exchange my weakness for your strength today. I feel so tired, but I receive your strength. For you know what the word says? When I'm weak, then I'm strong in you. That's what the word says. So that is my portion for this day. So the Lord showed me about 25, and I'm just going to quickly whip through them. I'm not going to preach on every one. But each one could preach. Each one could preach. There's a big bowl, and I'm so glad Rita bought this gorgeous big bowl. And you've got to see that every bowl, there's just so many bowls out here, and whatever you have need of, there's a bowl for you. There's a bowl of forgiveness. If there's bitterness, unforgiveness in your heart, I want to tell you, unforgiveness is like a cancer. It will eventually destroy your life. And some of us have got unforgiveness from way back there. And the Lord just wants to deal with it. If you've got and that set of tapes on the freedom of forgiveness, John teaches on unforgiveness in a set of tapes, and it has set so many people free. Three areas unforgiveness always attacks: relationships. I don't know, is there a mother-in-law or a mother or a sister-in-law that you just, well, if I see them once a year, that's good enough. You know, it's like unforgiveness. Well, I'm not really angry with them, but I just don't like to be around them. If there's somebody that you can't walk towards in love, you've got to deal with your heart and say, Lord, get rid of the root of unforgiveness in my heart. Because Jesus said, if you cannot forgive me, then will my Father in heaven forgive you. And that's Matthew 18, last verse. And he says, you can forgive. Because he has forgiven you so much. And the nature of God is within you. You can forgive. So it bothers relationships. It bothers finances. You know, it's like the enemy. It's like your finances have got a... You've got a pocket with a hole in. It's no matter how much you earn, it just goes right through. Finances. The enemy's stealing from you. And the third thing is your health. If you prayed for healing, and you just can't seem to get healing, check your heart for unforgiveness. Because Jesus said, if you won't forgive, I'll put you in prison and I'll release the tormentors on you. Matthew 18. And it's... Those are the three areas. I'm telling you, we could preach on unforgiveness every single month and the altar will be full. You know why? The enemy is out to bring offenses against us. Always. I mean, I got just bent out of shape with my husband yesterday. I mean, you know, he kind of bit at me and I wanted to just bite back at him. Now, none of you ever did that, you know. I know you know you're just all sweet as pie all day long and... But you ever just want to get to bite? And I had to deal with unforgiveness. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know what? I'm learning to deal with it quicker and quicker and quicker. And not wait a week or even 3 days or even another day. But deal with it within the next hour. hope I can get to the place where I don't even notice that he bit me, so that I don't want to bite back. He didn't really bite. He was just in a hurry, and he just made a comment. But, you know, I was a little fragile. You know when you got PMS and you're a little fragile emotionally. Actually, I didn't have PMS, but, you know, I'm going through menopause. I'm 50 years old. And my husband is so, he keeps saying, there's life after menopause. Isn't that right? Some of you have been through it, so you know it. There is life after. So sometimes you feel a little more fragile, you know, dealing with unforgiveness quickly in your life. There's a bowl of unforgiveness. There's a bowl of mercy. If you've sinned, there's a bowl of mercy. There's a bowl of strength. I'm telling you this morning, I got my big spoon out. I said, Lord, I receive your strength for my weakness. I did that literally this morning. And it works. There's a bowl of love. I've got a sister, and she's precious, but she's a prickly pear. Do you know what a prickly pear is? It's like a pear that with thorns on it. And you never know how to touch her. You know, prickly pears, you can't touch. You've got to use knife and fork because they will put those little spikes in you. Well, my sister, I love her dearly, but she's like a prickly pear. And it's hard to love prickly pears. Any of you got sisters or brothers or in-laws? Or we got one or two hands. A few honest people around here. Hard people you know in your life that are hard to love. And there are times when you say, Lord, I don't know how to love her, but I receive your love. Lord, I'm about to call her. Will you give me just the right understanding, the right grace, and let your love flow through me to her? He wants to love the unlovely through you, because God is love. And he lives within me, and his nature is within me. There's a bowl of love. There's a bowl of peace. And you know what? God is very rich. Sometimes we think God, well, you know, it's like if you ask him for $100, he only gives you 95. I'm going to tell you, God is very rich. Very rich. And when he supplies your need, he supplies it more than enough. More than enough. He is the God of more than enough. There's a bowl of protection. Protection against all the attacks of the enemy. There's a bowl of patience. Some of you with little kids, where you feel impatient, I want to tell you, you can say, Lord, I receive your patience today as I deal with my children. There's a bowl of power when you're feeling powerless. Tracy said to me, we were praying about the retreat, the two of us were just praying and talking and finding out the heart of God and what he wants to do. And she said to me, she says, well, I don't feel very powerful. And I thought, yay, God, because you are so powerful. And we can exchange our powerlessness for the power, the wonder-working power of God. There's a bowl of boldness for where you are timid. God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. That's what he's given you. There's a bowl of joy for depression. I'm telling you, some of you need to have a good belly laugh. When last did you just laugh from your belly? You know where you laughed like you wanted to wet your pants, you know? Like you laughed and laughed and laughed. You know, it's good that we're just girls here. We can be just girl talk. But you know, some of us, there's the spirit of depression on us. And depression is a booger that we got to get rid of. And we're going to receive his joy in place of that depression. There's a bowl of gentleness for all harshness. There's a bowl of wisdom when you need to make a decision for indecision. And he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of him who does what? Who gives liberally and upbraids not. He doesn't scold you for asking, but he gives it generously. There's a bowl of understanding for every area of confusion in your life. There's a bowl of healing for where you're sick in your body. And I want to tell you, there are many, many people sick in this day and age. I know. And when you get pills from the doctor, and if on the doctor's little prescription, he says, all right, take 2 pills 3 times a day. You religiously take those 3 pills if you want to get well. Isn't that right? I want to tell you, if there's a bowl of healing at this table, you should be coming 3 times a day to say, Lord, I receive my healing. It was bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And I receive my healing in this body this day. And you know what? When the enemy has come against our bodies, with attacking our bodies with sickness, you know what we've done? We've got the bread and the wine, and we've taken the covenant meal 3 times a day if it needs be. When the enemies come like a flood against us financially, and we're just short, we've gone and we've sat at the covenant table, and we've taken the bread and the wine, and we've said, Lord, we're your covenant children, and we're standing on your covenant promises to provide every need that we have. 3 times a day if needs be. Well, don't you need the priest or the pastor to come and do that? No. You're the child of the living God. You can come and sit at the table. And sometimes we'll be sitting in black-eyed pea, and we'll take some cornbread and take tea. And we just say, Lord, we're breaking this cornbread because as a son, this is your body that was broken for us. And we receive our healing. We receive our inheritance. We receive our strength. And we drink this cup of tea or this wine. In Jesus' name, it's the cup of blessing. We do it all the time. When we get together as a family, we do it. When we sit around a mealtime, when people come and visit us, we get out the bread and the wine, and we just stand on the promises of God. That's what this table's about. Standing on His promises. There's a bowl of healing. By His stripes, you were healed. Now, you can't keep abusing your body and thinking God's going to heal me. You know, I love what Kenneth Hagin says. If you're saying, oh God, please heal my thumb, and you're taking a hammer and you're just beating your hammer, you're beating your thumb with a hammer, but God, please heal my thumb, and you're slashing. Well, I mean, that's stupidity. I mean, your thumb is going to fall off. That's what's going to happen to it. So you've got to look after your body. You see? Do you understand what I'm saying? So there comes that side of it as well, but if you're doing everything you know and you say, Lord, I receive my healing, it's my birthright. It's my covenant birthright. Healing is my birthright, and I'm receiving it in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, take it 3 times a day, however long you need to do it. There is a bowl of deliverance for every bondage. Some of you here tonight are in some kind of bondage. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're on drugs. Maybe you're on prescription drugs. I'm telling you, God wants you free from that. He wants you free from everything that is binding you. Maybe it's alcohol. I don't know. Maybe it's cigarettes. I don't know what it is. Whatever the addiction is, God wants to set you free. Maybe it's just a spirit of heaviness. Maybe it's like self-pity and self-rejection that just consumes you, and you know it sends you down, like just down the plug. God wants you free. He came to set you free. And you can be free tonight. There's a bowl of hope for all hopelessness. I'm going to preach a message on hope one of these days soon. Because I'm telling you, without hope, you just cannot live. You've got to have that picture, that hope picture, that the faith within you paints for your mind to cling to according to the Word of God. Hope, you know where you're going. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. There's a bowl of security for all fear. God said, you don't have to live, and you know, you don't have to live in fear. And I want to tell you, I find so many women living in fear. Fear of their husbands. Fear of sickness. Fear of making a mistake. Fear of being left out. Fear of abandonment. Fear of poverty. Fear of so many fears. We're so full of fear. And the Lord said, you don't have to. No fear comes from God. The perfect love casts out all fear. Fear comes from the enemy. And that fear paralyzes. But when God sets you free and you realize, hey, I don't even have to be afraid to die. Because if I die, I'm absent from the body, but I'm present with the Lord. I can be free from all fear. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and I am the living water. There's a bowl of rest. I love what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1, but he says this, I fear lest you don't enter into the rest. And some of us are striving so hard to please God, and he's saying, would you just come and crawl up on my lap and let me love you and enter into my rest and enjoy my provision for you. There's a bowl of contentment for all restlessness. Whatever you have need of, there's a bowl full of it for you. See, what I've tried to show you tonight, that in every bowl it's Him. So I take the Word of God, and whatever my need is, I say, Lord, what's the Word for that need? What is the Word that I can receive that provision into my life? You can enjoy it. The banquet table is set for you. He's prepared a banquet table in the presence of my enemies. In fact, you see, the enemy wants to keep you away from the banquet table. He wants to make you feel unworthy. He makes you want to feel, well, there's no place for me. The enemy wants to keep you away, but he says, come, my child. Ever sung that old song? Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. There's a feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry now he calleth, come and dine. Remember that old song? Old song. Come and dine. And here's the deal. You don't have to come only once. Not one of us eat only one time. We've all had more than one meal every single day. And that's the truth of this as well. Every time you have a need, you can come and sit at the table, metaphorically, and just say, Lord, I receive your peace. I receive your wisdom. Lord, I receive your strength. Lord, I receive whatever I have need of today. I can come and sit at the table. Not only at that table, it goes on in verse 6, says, He anoints my head with oil. Now I want to tell you, it's so important to know the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's not just the Word, but it's the Word and the Spirit. And I've got to sit down and allow Him to anoint my head with oil. And that doesn't happen when you're striving and you're running around and you're just doing all this stuff. And it can be as simply, I mean, some of you have got little kids and you think, Beverly, I don't get 5 minutes to myself. Well, when you go to the bathroom, just say, Lord, I receive your anointing. That's the only place I've got peace in my house right now. I receive, Lord, let me just enjoy your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. When I'm standing in the shower, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, I receive your anointing, your strength. Come and anoint my head with oil, the sweet fragrance. In the olden days, when a guest came into the home, they would sit at the table and they would wash their feet and they would anoint their heads with a sweet, fragrant oil. That's the picture. Then he says, my cup overflows. And you know, if we were serving wine or cool drink or iced tea or whatever, we would probably fill the glass to about there. But David says in Psalm 23, he says, my cup overflows. And it's a picture of abundance. More than you have need of. More than you have need of. I want to tell you, David says, my cup overflows. And then he says this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I did a little study, and in the Hebrew, the word can literally be translated this way as well. Only prosperity and favor will pursue me all the days of my life. Isn't that awesome? Goodness and mercy, prosperity and favor. is going to pursue me just like two little dogs, you know, like you're running and those two little dogs are just yapping at your heels. Prosperity and favor, goodness and mercy are just pursuing me as I'm after him. And I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things are being added to me. Prosperity and favor. And that's why David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that word dwell means to settle down, take root. I am staying right here. This is where the prosperity and the favor is. This is where every need that I have is met. This is where my cup will overflow with the goodness of God. This is where I am received by him and his love overflows towards me. And here's the deal. It's always there for you. I preached this word one time and a lady years ago wrote this little note and I found it again today. And she said this, she wrote me this note and she said, I was able to talk to him all day long as if we were sitting at a table. And what joy it brought back to both of us. For my breakfast this morning, my breakfast included compassion, contentment, wisdom, victory, peace, forgiveness, gentleness, love, gladness. Looks like she was hungry. And I really believe Jesus is enjoying feeding me. I almost left the table without the anointing, and Jesus reminded me of that very important blessing when he called me back and he told me, I don't have to leave the table. Whenever I need to feed or drink anytime, he is sitting there waiting for my next helping. Thanks for sharing this message with me. I want to tell you, he is all you need. And he is more than enough. And no matter what you've done in your life, no matter where you've been in your life, he is all you need. And he loves you unconditionally. And he says, if you don't sit at the seat, nobody else will. If you don't come and sit in this table, in this chair, and belly up to the table and say, Lord, I have this need in my life today. I'm receiving you to meet that need. Nobody else will. But when you come and you sit and you say, Lord, pour out your anointing. Let that cup overflow. Let goodness and mercy just pursue me in my life. And I'm receiving your healing, your strength, or whatever it is you have need of. I want to tell you it pleases him. And he is a giver. And he loves to give to you. Father, I thank you for this wonderful picture of your grace and of your abundance. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are more than enough for every one of our needs. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Now just as you are quietly sitting there, just start identifying in your own heart, what is your need tonight? What is it you have need of? Perhaps your marriage is in a mess. You're saying, oh God, I need help. I need to love my husband. Maybe it's you need to forgive him first, so that God can pour his love in your heart. Maybe it's yourself you need to love. Maybe there are things in your own heart that you've rejected in yourself. Whatever you have need of. The Lord says, come and dine. Come and enjoy in my presence. I am all that you have need of. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have no lack. And he is the one who's prepared the table before me, the banquet table of the Lord in the presence of my enemy. You know, what's so wonderful about having a ladies' conference is that we can just do whatever we want to do and nobody's going to tell on you. So whatever you want to do, I want to tell you, you're free to do it. If you want to come and kneel here at the altar, you want to come lay on your face on the stage here, you come and do it. If you want to come and sit in this chair and just take the big spoon in your hand and say, oh God, my life's been so empty forever and I'm coming to receive from you. Whatever you need to do. Sometimes it's important for us just to do something physically to to settle that thing within our hearts. I had one lady one time who actually set a little table in the corner of her bedroom. And she would go and sit at that table and put the word in the plate. And she would read the word and nourish herself and restore herself. And she would just enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus because He enjoyed talking with her. If there's somebody here who needs special prayer tonight, I'd love to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, I'd love to stand with you. Somebody, just have this word of knowledge. Somebody has a problem in their back, their lower back. You've had pain in your lower back. The Lord wants to touch that. Somebody's got a problem with their thyroid, and the Lord wants to heal your thyroid tonight. There's somebody with a glaucoma in your eyes, and the Lord's saying He wants to stabilize that pressure in your eyes and heal that glaucoma. Somebody's had tremendous migraine headaches. The Lord wants to heal migraine headaches tonight. Somebody with a right knee, your knee is really been bothering you. You've got a torn ligament. I don't know what it is, but it's like there's a lot of pain in your knee. The Lord wants to heal your knee tonight. There's somebody here with stomach ulcers, pain in your stomach, indigestion. You actually haven't been to the doctor, but you know that this is what it is. The Lord wants to touch your stomach. Somebody here who has a real financial need, and you need to just come and sit at this table and say, Lord, I'm receiving Your provision for my need tonight. I'm asking You for a financial breakthrough in my life. Thank You, Lord. Tracy's going to play and sing, and I'm just going to open up the front of this. If you're not used to doing this, just get used to it quickly. Do it tonight. Doesn't really matter. I mean, this isn't church. We're not playing church here. We're just doing whatever the Spirit of God says to do. So if you feel the Spirit of God stirring you, come on. If you want me to pray for you, if I've called out, I had a word of knowledge about your sickness, or even if I didn't, you know, just come and stand here in front and I'll pray for you in that regard. Or if you want to go and kneel somewhere or lie down somewhere and just listen as Tracy sings and prophesies over us through her song.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.